All right. Well, I am going to get back to the armor of God. We've talked about the helmet and the belt of truth, and I was to talk about the breastplate of righteousness today. I have that already to bring to you, but the Lord is so, I'm looking for the word. He loves to change things up. Amen? So he gave me this word in the middle of the week. So I'm going to bring it to you, and let's see what... you just open your hearts to receive today, okay? I promise it won't be long. Might not be long. Let's see that. The restaurants will save you a place. It might be one, but it'll be okay. No. All right, let's look at the Word of God today. This is being taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 3. He records these words. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Why don't you follow along, just a few verses here. Talking about Jesus. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. They must have been something else, them two brothers. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. And then there was Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, talking about Jesus. And they went into an house. Title of my message today is, You Are Somebody. You Are Somebody. I want to talk to you today about a man that you probably know nothing about. In fact, I don't know much about him myself. He's part of a group more famous than the Beatles. Do y'all know, have you ever heard of the Beatles? Yeah. Some are saying, oh, who's that? You know. Well, they kind of look like my son Andrew, you know, if you look at his hair. You know. No, not really. But you may have never even heard his name. He did great things, but there's no record of them. He helped change many lives, but I can't tell you how. His name is Thaddeus. And we've just read where he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. We've all heard of the big redwood trees in Northern California. Anybody ever been up there? Been the big redwoods, yes. We've seen the Old Faithful. We know about it, about the geyser in Wyoming that is said to erupt every 44 minutes to 2 hours. Some of us have been to the Statue of Liberty. That was an awesome trip. And seen how and know of other great landmarks across our nation. Many of us know about Joel Osteen and of Lakewood Church in Houston. We know about T.D. Jakes, pastor of the Potter's House in Dallas. Many of us have heard about Pastor Jeffries, the pastor of the First Baptist in Dallas, big church. And we know we've heard of names like, we don't know them, I don't think any of us know them, but we know about them, the names like Donald Trump and Justice Clarence Thomas, powerful, very conservative man, goes right by the Constitution. He doesn't believe the Constitution changes. It meant what it said. Amen? And then the infamous Nancy Pelosi. We've all heard of these folks. They're all millionaires. But let me ask you, what about two preachers, one like a Brother Smith that has been faithfully pastoring some 40 people for many, many years? At least 20 years. Or then there was a Brother Johnson that went through seminary and has been paying his student loans for years while pastoring a congregation of 55 and working a full-time job at that. Let me ask you, are these two men unsuccessful because they don't pastor a large, thriving church, or they're not on TV every Sunday. Can I suggest to you that if they are where God has placed them, still doing what God has called them to do, then guess what? They are successful in God's eyes. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 23, he says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Understand this, you may be the owner of a multi-million dollar corporation and be unsuccessful in God's eyes. Or you might be the janitor of that same company and be right where God wants you to be. Today, churches measure success by how big our building is, how many people attend, how large the budget may be, and how many new members and baptisms they had the previous physical year. Society today is consumed with superficial measures of success. And as we look to the Word of God, we're going to find that God does not measure success, Sister North, the way that man does. The world may look at you as a failure or as worthless or as a nobody, and you've heard it so much that guess what? You're starting to believe that. The enemy has whispered in such negative comments in your ears for many years. But let me tell you this, if you are a child of God, and I want you to hear me, if you are a child of God, you are special. Look at somebody next to you, tell them you're special. And guess what? You are greatly blessed and highly favored. And around here, we like to say highly flavored. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them they're highly flavored. Amen. Amen. I want us to take a few minutes here this morning, and I want us to look at Thaddeus' life, see what we can find about it, and see that Jesus sees you and me as somebody, even when the world may look at us as a nobody. The first thing that I would like for you to look at and see is this. Number one, people may not know your name, but Jesus does. The man we are talking about today had several names, in fact. When you look through the Gospels, you're going to find them. He was called Lebbeus in Matthew chapter 10. He's called Judas, the brother of James, in Luke chapter 6. He's called Judas, not Iscariot. That's what the Bible says. Judas, not Iscariot, in John 14. And he's called Thaddeus in our text here in Mark chapter 3 and verse 18. It is human nature to desire a measure of recognition. We all desire it. People go to great lengths to stand out from the crowd and to be unique and to be different. They do want recognition. In England, it's said that Prince William is the heir apparent to the throne now, and I've read where Prince Harry sadly was simply referred to as the spare. Can you imagine having that said about you? He's second class. He's only a spare in case something tragic happens to the chosen one. How sad is that? How would you like to be simply known as so-and-so's little brother or sister? It's obvious that no one would want to be confused with Judas Iscariot. But we still would not want to simply be referred to as the other one. Can you say amen? And that is basically the case for this man, Thaddeus. He's called Judas, not Iscariot. Throughout your Bible, you will not hear Thaddeus preach a sermon, a powerful sermon. You'll not see him specifically healing someone who was sick. You'll not read that he ever cast out a demon. But it is very possible, dare I say even probable, that he did all of these things. Now, why would I say that? Because of what we find recorded then in Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. Listen to this. And he called Jesus, called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Thaddeus may not have been, listen now, he may not have been a Peter or an Andrew or a James or a John. He may not have penned a gospel or written a letter or an epistle. But can I propose to you that Jesus did not want him to be Peter, James, John, or Andrew? Jesus chose him, Brother Tony, to be one of the 12, and he wanted Thaddeus to be just that. He wanted him to be Thaddeus. You may look at other preachers or teachers or singers, etc., and desire to be like them. You may long for the opportunities maybe that they have encountered. You may desire the talents that they have been given. You may envy the success that they have experienced. But you're not them. God has another path for you. Are you hearing me this morning? And guess what? It is a better path for you simply because it's God's path for you. The world may not know your name. You may never see your name in lights or go down in the history books. Yet can I tell you, Jesus knows your name. And that is worth more than the notoriety of man. You are special in God's eyes. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. And guess what? He knows your name, Michelle. Jesus knows your name. As we move further, we're going to see something else. Number two, people may not realize your worth, but Jesus does. Jesus knows your worth. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to what it says. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto them who he would, and they came unto him. This is part of our text. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. So for whatever reason, we do not have an in-depth record of Thaddeus' service as a disciple of Christ. But just the fact that he is named, Sister North, among the 12 should show us something. At this point in Jesus' ministry, there were multitudes following Jesus everywhere he went. And out of this great number of followers, Jesus just selected 12. Thaddeus was privileged to be called in that number. And whatever your service is today, whatever the task that Jesus has chosen for you, understand it is an honor to be chosen to serve. Do not let the world tell you that your place of service is insignificant. You have been chosen by the Creator of the universe to accomplish something for Him. Out of the more than 6 billion people in this world, He called your name. He placed you as the teacher of that class to have an impact on those children. He placed you in that warehouse to reach your coworkers in the break room. He placed you as a mother. He placed you as a father. He placed you as a grandparent of that child to have an internal impact. Don't doubt how God works and puts things into our lives. He placed you at the nurse's station to lead that person next to you to Christ. Whatever your situation, He chose you to serve Him. We all have a calling. Would you say that with me? We all have a calling. We remember Sister Prince in our church passed away already in heaven before Jesus today. She sent out cards. She sent out cards. And what was so sweet, there was one time, I don't remember, many, many years ago. You have to know, I've collected feathers over the years, and I saw it as God's favor. And so many different times in my life, I just looked at it. You know, I'd go places. I remember one Father's Day going, and I had to buy a new recliner. And I wasn't sure. I said, oh, my gosh, Lord, they range from 300 to 700 to 1,200, you know. And so I was questioning the Lord. I was asking God for favor, you know. And y'all, I parked my car, went to the door of the store. The doors open and looked down, and there was a feather right there. Well, we shared that with the congregation and talked about different things in our lives. And Sister Wanda Prince, she testified one day how that she went out to her mailbox to get mail. And there all around the foot of that mailbox was green feathers. Green, mind you, green. New life, green, new life. And so she just knew that was her calling at that time to send out, you know, send out cards. And people testified, yeah, my whole kitchen wall is posted with her cards where we were missed, you know, over the years. But I'm telling you, God has chosen. Let's don't take anything insignificant in our lives. And I thank the Lord for Sister Judy, who has taken that up. And she does an awesome job and sends cards to all over the nation and all over to our body. Even to my puppy dog, she'll send a card and just let them know she's thinking about them. And I come and I tell them, I get them there to my foot of my... This is not in my notes, I'm just telling you. It's all right. I'll get her card and I'll say, y'all ready for a snacker? You know, and they know, man, they can be out on the other opposite side of the fence. And I'll holler, I say, you ready for a snacker? Oh, man, they come running. They're not sure what they're going to get, but they're going to get something, you know. I may have snuck a roll from the stove, you know, without Amber seeing me, and went to my room. And so I take a bite of it, and then I tear the other part in half. And so anyway, they come to my chair, and they sit there at my feet, and they're just looking up at me. I said, before I give you my snack, I have to read you the card from Sister Judy. And so I don't know what they thought or said, but they enjoyed their snack afterwards. How's that? Anyway, I said, that's all I got. So they want to lick my hands of the smell, you know, and they go about their way. So thank you, Amber, for leaving that extra biscuit out or that cornbread. There may be three pieces. She comes the next morning, there's two. She knows I've done something with that cornbread, you know. So anyway, whatever your situation, He chose you to serve Him. We all have a calling. So let me ask, will you treasure that calling, or will you take it for granted? Will we be so prideful as to look at our place of service and compare it to someone else, and then become bitter because ours is not as a prominent position as someone else's? Just a little added encouragement. Even before Jesus chose Thaddeus to be His disciple, Thaddeus was precious to Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, you and I, we were still and are precious in His sight. Here's what Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We were worth enough to God for Him to send His own flesh, His sin, His own Son, to die for you and me. You were worth enough in Jesus' eyes for Him to go to the cross for you and for me. The world may say that you're a nobody, but I'm here to tell you this morning to remind you, God says that you are somebody. People may not know your name, but Jesus does. People may not realize your worth, but Jesus does. And it brings me to the third one. People may not recognize your effort, but Jesus does. He may not realize, people may not realize your effort, but Jesus does. In my almost 27 years of pastoring And then 10 years before that in eldership under a pastor. I don't ever remember hearing a sermon about Thaddeus. It may have been, I'm sure. You probably won't read a book about him. There are no sermon series on his life. The fact is, you may never get the pat on the back that you think you deserve. People may never see all that you do. They may not see the long hours and late nights of study to become proficient in your job. They might not know the financial sacrifices that you've made over the years. Others may not know the emotional struggles and the burnout that maybe you have endured in times past. And I'm not only referring to ministry issues here. Listen, there are rewards for those who are simply faithful wherever God has placed them. Are you hearing me this morning? Paul writes, and it's recorded for us in Colossians 3, again, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a reward. Men may not see it, but God sees what we do. So whatever you do, do it with all your heart and know that God will reward your faithfulness in what He's called you to do. Though we do not have the backstory of Thaddeus' life, we're certain that like Peter and James and John and Andrew and Levi, guess what? He left everything he had in order to follow Jesus. Notice a conversation between Peter then and Jesus on the subject of rewards. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, it shows us he sees. Then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? In verse 28, Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Though the world may not recognize your effort again, though you may never be rewarded down here, Jesus has much more in store for every one of us. We all will have our eternal reward. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt or destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, verse 20, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, every deed done in the name of Jesus will be blessed and rewarded in eternity. And this may sound humorous, and I've told some of the guys already this morning, but you got to know God is not into little houses. There's not going to be manufactured little houses in heaven waiting for some little single widow or widower. Amen. Amen. You enjoy that single house down here, okay? What did he say? He said he's already made many mansions. Everybody say mansions. Waiting for you. John 14 and 2. Waiting for you. He knows your likes. He knows your dislikes. He's got that place already fixed out for what you like. Amen. There's an outside fireplace on the patio. Amen. A big rock fireplace out in the yard where y'all can sit around it. But there's only going to be a certain temperature. Amen. I don't know about all that, but anyway. Men may not recognize your effort, but rest assured that Jesus knows that He will and He will reward your faithfulness. Amen. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall drink you or give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And I know sometimes you may feel that it is all in vain. You feel that you're wasting your time. Times past, you were ready to throw up your hands and quit. I'm talking to somebody. The world said you should. Guess what? And the enemy says you should. And yes, you've even thought about it, that you should. You may never have anything that the people of this world would want. You may never have the power. You may never have the prominence. You may never have all of those possessions. You may never have just a whole lot of prosperity. But guess what? We're all rich. We are all rich. Listen, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what it says. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking about his children, talking about the church, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that judgment seat there will be crowns. There's going to be crowns given at that judgment. It's a real time of rewards of what you've done. And you got to know he has crowns ready to give every one of us. And there happens to be in the Bible 5 different crowns. It's posted in the Word of God. I'm just going to go through them just real quick. I still got time. I got 45 minutes to an hour. No, not really. I'm almost through. We find 5 different crowns in the Word of God. Number 1 is the incorruptible crown. That's from 1 Corinthians 9:25. It's awarded for faithfulness to the Lord. There you go. It's awarded for faithfulness to the Lord. An incorruptible crown. And then number 2, there's the crown of life. It's for the person who has endured and overcome every temptation. James 1:12. And then here's the 3rd one, the crown of rejoicing. This is the soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And then, of course, the crown of righteousness. This will be given to those who anticipate and live in the light of Jesus' return. 2 Timothy 4:8. And then, of course, the crown of glory. This is going to be given to the faithful ministers who give themselves to lead and feed the flock. 1 Peter 5:4. Again, we may not know the backstory of Thaddeus, of his life, but I can assure you he stored up treasures in heaven. I read the story of an elderly preacher who was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before service. Pastor, said the man, something must be wrong with your preaching and your work. There's been only one person added to the church in a whole year, and he happens to be just a boy. And the minister listened, and his eyes moistened, and his thin hand began to tremble. Yes, I feel it all, he replied. But God knows I've tried to do my duty. On that day, the minister's heart was heavy, and he stood before his flock, and as he finished the message, he felt a strong inclination to resign. After everyone else had left, that one boy came up to him and asked him something. He said, Pastor, he says, do you think if I worked hard for an education, I could become a preacher or perhaps a missionary? And again, the story says that the tears welled up in this minister's eyes. And he said to himself, ah, oh, this heals the ache that I feel inside. He said, Robert, I see a divine hand upon you right now. May God bless you and my boy. Yes, I think you will become a preacher. And here's the rest of the story. The story said many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa, and his name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to their homes. He had added many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ, reaching even to some of Africa's most savage chiefs, the story goes. His name happened to be Robert Moffat. The same Robert who years before, as a young boy, had spoken to the pastor that Sunday morning. You can Google his name. Missionary to Africa and a translator. Our prayer really ought to be, Lord, help us to be faithful. And then give us the grace to leave the results to you. The world may not know your name. They may not realize your worth. They may not recognize your effort, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus does. And if he does, guess what? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I'm closing. Fox's Book of Martyrs records that Thaddeus was crucified for his faith at a place called Edessa. And I found it's located in Syria. This was back in AD 72, 72 years after Christ's birth. Others believe that he was pierced with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Regardless of the method, it is commonly accepted that he was martyred for his faith in Christ. He was bold and he was faithful. I'm here to tell you, he was somebody. So let me ask you, have you listened to the attacks from the enemy? Somewhere along the way, did you walk away from something that you felt unworthy? Did you quit because you thought no one saw it or cared what you did? If you walked away, is it possible you were serving then for the wrong reason in the first place? I encourage every one of you and myself, let's remember who called us, who sent us out, and guess what? Who will enable us to accomplish His will in our lives. And who is that person? His name is Jesus. So you think you're a nobody. Well, I'm here to remind you that God says you are somebody. And guess what? Again, that's all that really matters. Let's all stand together this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to do our communion here. We're saving that now. We're going to have communion at the end, Brandon, of our home groups once a month. As you end, that's going to be part of the ending, bringing it to an end. Everybody will take communion in the homes. So that's going to be a good thing. I'm excited about that. Let's remember our church family. Sister Debbie, who hasn't been able to be here in some Sundays, just ill in her body. Let's remember her and lift her up to the Lord. Others that you may see that are not here, remember them in prayer. Give them a call. Check on them. Let them know that we are missing them today. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your awesome presence that we have felt in this house today. Lord, we magnify your name this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you truly have called us to a great work. And as that great man Nehemiah in the Bible, working on the wall, people looked at him, tried to get him to come down off that wall because they were rebuilding Jerusalem. He said, no, I'm doing a good work. I'm not coming down. So, Lord, I'm just telling you, I want to tell you, we're not coming down off this wall. We're going to continue to do what you've called us to do in the place that you've called us. And I thank you. We may not ever be recognized by man, but you see where we're at in our lives right now. You see what's going on in each of our hearts. You see the cry of our heart. You see the desires of our heart. And yes, you reward us even down here. So I thank you today. Lord, I just ask you to touch every heart here in this place today who has heard this word today. And let us not leave this house today without Lord, knowing, Lord, that we are somebody, that you've called us to a mighty work. Touch the hearts of your people. Touch those. We lift up Debbie. We lift up all of those, God, that are sick in their body, that are being held down. Lord, we just lift them up to you, Lord. And I lift every man up, every husband, every father. I lift up every wife, every mother in here, grandparent. I lift them up to you today, Lord. And I speak favor and blessings over their lives. As they go from this house today, I thank you that we're going to find favor with God and with man today. Renew our hearts, Lord. If we've grown cold in our hearts, renew us today. Set us ablaze, that little ember that's still there in our hearts. Lord, blow your spirit upon it, and Lord, let it rise, Lord, to a mighty flame, Lord, that we can reach out and touch others with a spoken word, to touch others' hearts, that they want to hear what we have to say, because we're speaking what you've given us to say, Lord, in that workroom, in that break room. Lord, I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer today, I'm right here with you. I'll pray for you, whatever you're needing today. God bless you as you go from this house. Let's greet others again. Let them know how much you love them, how much God loves them. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.